Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to my talk about KExec KDump. I will try to explain you a bit how KExec KDump works. My name is Matthias Brugger. I work at SUSE as a Linux kernel engineer, and I work mainly on ARM64. And I looked into KExec KDump for enablement for SLI 12 SP3, and then I thought that it would be nice to do a talk about it, and it took me a while to actually find the time and now it's the moment. So what I will talk about, I will give a quick overview of the use cases. Then we will have a look into the internals of user space and kernel. We will look about the special support in OpenSUSE. I will do a demo and we have some questions. Well, you have some questions, I have some answers, hopefully. Okay, the use cases. So first use case is boot a new kernel without rebooting a machine. So I come from an embedded background, so that for me was a really strange use case, because in embedded you just boot up all the time when you, for example, develop. But when you have like bigger systems, like big servers, then it can take quite a while for the firmware to enumerate all the devices. And then it might make sense to just reboot the kernel without rebooting the whole firmware. Or you have like pre-production firmware which is not stable enough, and you don't want to risk to reboot the whole machine and then have a broken firmware. Then the second use case is to debug a system. I think this is a principal motivation why this was implemented in the first place. And that's we at SUSE we use it to debug kernel crashes that happens at our customers. We have a lot of different customers with different hardware, and we don't always have good logs, because maybe there's no serial console, or the logs are broken because the kernel crash is so bad. Or we don't have a reproducer in-house because it's some legacy code in the client that actually provokes a crash, and we need to understand how this happens. So we can use KExec KDump for that. I will explain in the rest of the presentation, I will explain the use case for debugging a system, because the other one is a bit different, and I decided to look into this more in detail. And the last one is to boot your system, which is, for me, it sounds like totally crazy, and that is what S390 is doing. When booting a system, they do KExec in the end. Well, okay, some comments first. So there are different ways to talk about the production system and the capture kernel or crash kernel or panic kernel. So I will talk about the production kernel or production system and a capture kernel or capture system. And the idea is that the capture system gets booted when the production system crashes. So to make it more graphical, you have here, this is a really crappy graphic I made, but anyway, it's good enough. It shows you like the memory of the system, and the arrow shows you that the production kernel is running, and then the production kernel crashes, and then the capture kernel gets started, and the capture kernel creates somehow a dump file with the memory of the production system. So that's how it works. And which parts are involved? Well, we have a user space part. The most important tool or the most important project is KExec Tools, which is used to prepare the capture system and somehow load it into so that it can boot it when the production system crashes. Then we have, of course, the kernel itself. There are some other user space tools to inspect the dump, like make dump file or crash or crash Python. I won't go into detail about these tools. You can have a look via the main page. And then there are some distro programs to make it easier to set things up. sets things up. And in the case of OpenSUSE, that's called kdump with, yeah. So KExec tools, has several tools. The most important one is called KExec. And you can see here how you can, for example, load a kernel with an initrd, and you just use the kernel command line from the production system. And you have different possibilities to use it. So you can just, if you want, do the first use case to just boot a new kernel, then you would use dash -l for load the system, and then afterwards you do an dash -e, kexec-e, which will reboot in the new kernel, better unmount your file systems so that they don't get damaged. And this will basically call reboot with a magic number in the kernel, and the kernel then realizes that it shouldn't reboot, but just reboot a new kernel and not the whole system. Apart from that, you can unload a loaded kernel, and you could have some architecture-specific options like device tree for ARM64. Okay, so remember how this works. So the capture system takes the memory of the production system and creates a dump file. So the question is, how can the capture system do this? What does it need? Well, what we need when the production system crashes is we need a capture kernel. We need to know where the capture kernel is in the memory to load it. We need to know which memory we can use for the capture kernel, because if we would use just the memory used by the production system, then we could overwrite some values that are interesting to analyze. We need some user space for the capture system, and we need to know where actually the memory of the production system is, so that we can create a dump. And to do this, what we do is I made a small crappy graphic down here, which is like the whole memory of your machine, and then you reserve, which is the gray area, you reserve some memory space via the crash kernel equals some megabytes to where the capture system will live in, and you take this memory away from your production system. So it can be a bit tricky to decide how big this memory area should be. You don't want it to be too big to waste memory for something that you don't, that you hopefully never need. And but don't make it too small, because then maybe your capture system does not come up. So there are some tools that can help you. I will show you later. And you can see in this reserved area, there are different segments like ELF core header, kernel, initrd, device tree, and purgatory, which get loaded into the reserved memory, and then the part here in the end that would be like the memory that actually the capture system can use after boot. And these segments, this is how they are called, have this structure, which is a shared structure between the user space and the kernel. And for example, in the case of the capture kernel, when you load this with KExec tools, what it does, it allocates a buffer of the size of your kernel in user space and copies your kernel in there, and then it looks in the reserved region where it can find a page-aligned hole to reserve this for your kernel. And so in the end, you have like a buffer with, in user space, you have a buffer with your kernel, and you have a pointer to the memory, which would be pointing here, and the size. Okay, this is for kernel and initrd, that's it, what KExec tool does. The ELF core header, device tree, and purgatory is a bit different, and I will go more into detail now about this. So the ELF core header is an ELF header or an ELF file which holds the information about the production memory. And with this information, the capture system later can create the proc VM core, which is a dump file that you can then copy somewhere and inspect what really happened in your system. And yeah, this works like this, that you have an elf header, and then you have program headers, which points, for example, here to your production kernel, or which points to the memory. And there are different program headers, one for each CPU, which points to the crash nodes of each CPU, which is a memory region in your production system, where the production system will store information about CPU state bits, CPU registers, so that in the end you have an exact picture of what happened in every CPU at the moment of the crash. And then, KXIC tools can read the address via the SysFS, and then write the address into the program header and the size, and that's it. VM Core is a data structure in the kernel, which is used to describe how the kernel looks like. So it's for debug information, so you can, for example, see page size, or you can see the offset of the flags in struct page, how big is a struct, etc. And that's necessary to later be able to analyze the kernel part of the memory dump. And that's also copied or stored somewhere in the production system memory, and you can read this with this kernel VM Core info. Then what you also need, of course, is the real memory that your production system has. So what ELF KExec tool does, it reads proc IO mem and decides which parts of this system RAM by a string. String compare, so nothing really elaborated, and then points to that. So that's about ELF Core Header. This information, as I said, is then used to create the dump file, and then in the capture system you can read that. Let's talk about the next one here, which is device tree. Device tree is a description language for hardware, how the hardware looks of your machine. It's used by PowerPC and by ARM. And ARM64 is able by specification to boot device with device tree or with ACPI. But there are some people that push the vendors to do ACPI only, so there are machines that are ACPI only. And then to be able to use device tree for KExec, KDump, you have a sys firmware FDT in ARM64, which gives you a minimal device tree. I can show you that later, which has just the UEFI mem map, where the init ID is allocated, and the kernel boot parameter. And what KExec tools does, it reads this device tree, it updates the location of the init ID, which then points to the init ID, which is here in your reserved area. It adds a pointer to the ELF Core header, and it tells the system where the usable memory is. And with this device tree later, the capture system knows everything it needs to know. Okay. I don't know exactly, to be honest.
I think it's in details, but I'm not sure. Have you tried?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's only the UEFI memory map, so I suppose they translated somewhere. But I haven't had a look on the code exactly how this is done. I don't think that it's that they prove that the firmware, apart from that, provides a device tree, because that most probably won't work. I mean, it would work, but because of human error, it most probably won't work. So, last bit we need for our capture system is the purgatory. So the purgatory decides over heaven and hell, and heaven is when you are able to boot the capture system, and hell is when your system is so broken that you can't do it. And what purgatory on ARM64 does, basically, it checks all the segments, all the other segments, not its own, but all the others, and checks for the hash sum to see that these segments are not changed in any way, and that it's safe to boot the capture system. There's also, in the newest version of KXIC tools, a command to ignore these checks, which is really nice, because that means purgatory sends you always to heaven. So, okay, then the purgatory, after doing the checks and saying everything's okay, it loads the kernel and the device tree into registers and jumps to the kernel. And we can you see this? Yeah. Yes, you can. Okay, so this is the purgatory in ARM64. I deleted some lines, but basically it's a really easy assembly. So it has some stack. So the stack is down here. And it loads a stack, and then it jumps to purgatory, which is a C function, which just does this hash check, and then it loads the kernel entry point in the device tree address into registers, zero some other registers, which is like the standard way to boot ARM64, and then jumps to the kernel. And what KXIC tool does with this file, it updates these two values to actually point to the kernel and to the device tree. So in the end, what we have to get all the information, the purgatory is like the first program that gets executed when the system crashes. He knows where the kernel is and where the device tree is, and the device tree has pointers to the ELF core header, initRD, and the usable memory for the system. And the kernel will use the device tree to boot up and get the system running. Okay, so that's all what KXIC does. It does create all these segments, and then it passes the segments to the kernel. And this is done via a syscall. It's called KXIC load. There's another call which is KXIC file load, where you just pass the kernel and the initRD to the production kernel, and then the production kernel does all this stuff for you. This is not yet implemented on ARM64. There are some patches on the mailing list, but it's not ready. And I was looking into the KXIC load case, and in the KXIC load case, what KXIC tools passes to the kernel is the entry points of the purgatory, and the number of the segments you have, and an array. In the end, an array of this of KXIC segments, and the number they are, how many are in the array. Okay, so that's a user space part, and now we get to the kernel part, which is shorter. So, okay, so kernel internals. I will talk about three parts in the kernel internals. So we have the part where how does this capture system get loaded while the production system still is up and running, which is the KXIC load syscall. Then what happens when the production kernel crashes, and then what happens when the capture kernel boots up. Okay, loading the capture kernel. So first of all, the kernel does some checks so that you're really rude to do this, that you don't have too many segments in your and that you want to pass, because you can only pass 16. And when all this is okay, then it creates a structure which is called kimage, and which holds the KXIC segments with the information from user space. It holds a purgatory entry point, which you also got from user space. It allocates a memory page as a control page, which will be used to actually start the purgatory. We will see that in a minute. And it will also do a copy of the VM core info and hold this. I'm not quite sure why he does this. I suppose it is because if VM core info gets damaged, then you have a copy. But I'm not sure. I'm not really sure why the kernel does this. Okay, So once this is done, it will check all the segments and it will check that they're not overlapped, that they are page aligned, that they're all in the cache memory area and they reserve the memory area that we allocated. And it will check that the memory, so the pointer to the memory has, of course, a size, and that this is bigger or the same as the user space buffer size, because it can be bigger because it's page aligned. So, well, the buffer is not page aligned. And what it also does check, and which is not checked in KXeq tools, and I was surprised to find this, is that it checks that the memory of all segments, the size of the memory of all segments translated to pages, is smaller or the same as the total RAM pages divided by 2. So if KXeq fails, it could be this. And it doesn't give any error, just gives a, well, it just returns without any log message or anything. Okay. When these checks are all passed, we are actually copying the data, the segments. So we have the data, and we have the address in the capture and the reserved memory area where to copy this. So we use copy from user to copy this page by page. And after that, we clear the PTE valid bit for all these pages so that they can't be accessed by the system by accident. Okay, and that's it. With this, we are actually done. When the kernel crashes, it checks that a crash kernel got loaded, and then when it gets loaded, the first what it does is it disables the IRQs and saves the CPU register on the crashed CPU. Then it writes time to the VM core info so that you know at which time the crash happened. And then it sends an inter-processor interrupt to all the other CPUs to which is CPU crash stop, and these other CPUs basically what they do, they also save the registers to their crash nodes we saw in the ELF core header, disable the local IRQs, and then call CPU die in the firmware where PSCI is a power system for ARM64, which basically shuts down the CPUs. Then it checks that all CPUs are actually down, because sometimes this doesn't work that good. And if not all the CPUs are down, it gives some warning, but it doesn't stop anyway, because it's already everything lost. So it copies a relocation code to the control page. That's what it was allocated before. It shut down the MMU and disable the caches, and then it actually starts a relocation code, which is ARM64 relocate new kernel in the case of ARM64. And then this is an assembly file which basically checks if the relocation is needed. In the case of a crash kernel, it's not needed, and it jumps directly to the purgatory, which we have seen before. And then the purgatory starts up and knows through the device tree what he has to do to the device tree in kernel. Sorry. Okay. Then the kernel starts. The purgatory starts the kernel. The kernel knows through this device tree information in its DTB where the ELF core header lies, where the usable memory is, and where the initRD starts. So it can start the initRD and can create then from the ELF core header the dump file. How he does this? Well, he reserves some memory and he copies the pointers from the ELF core header into this file, and it has a special read function. So when you from user space in the capture system actually read this file, then actually you will copy the memory of the system and not beforehand. Okay. Oh, I'm really quick. Distribution part. So setting all the system up is a bit tricky because you have several things you have to think about. So first of all, you have to know the reserved memory you need, which depends on your system RAM, on your init ID size, etc. So your init ID shouldn't be too big, but it should hold all the tools you need. And all the tools you need is, apart from the tools to somehow copy the dump file, that depends on where you want to copy the dump file. So you can copy the dump file to a local disk, or you can copy it to a remote machine. And if you need, of course, you will need the drivers for the disk and for the file system, or you will need a network stack, etc. So it's not so easy to make the init RD. And the last thing is, you can decide, do you want to reboot to the production system after the crash, or do you want to stay in the capture system? So most probably you want to reboot because you need your system up and running, and you hope that the crash doesn't appear too quick afterwards. Okay, to do this, we have the SUSE kdump program or set of tools, which basically has two parts, which is a part for the production system, though this helps you with some Dracut scripts to create the init RD. It helps you to execute the kexec call. And it also has a tool to helps you approximate the size of the reserved memory, the size of the reserved memory area that you will need. And on the other hand, when the capture system started, this kdump tool also provides some services. So you can create beforehand a configuration file to say where you want to store the dump, and if you want to, for example, compress the dump, etc., or what you want to store in the dump. So, and if you're really lazy, then you use YARS2 kdump, which is your friend, because it's really easy to set this up. So we can see here, for example, in the dump filtering, you can read this, right? So you can, for example, here say what you want to include in the dump. If you want to include free pages or pages filled with zero, which makes your dump file bigger, or if you don't care about this, or if you want to compress a file, you can, in dump target, you can say where you want to store it. You can create some email notifications, so you get an email, hey, you have some problem. So that's nice. We don't have too much time, but I wanted to do a really quick demo. So let's see how this works. Okay, appa. Can you read this more or less when it's booted up? It's booting, okay. So this is on virtual machine on my laptop, which is unfortunately using build root, but it should do its trick to just show you. So we can see, for example, that we have around 1.8 gigabyte of RAM. You can see, for example, we can see here that we have several memory areas with system RAM, which is then used by kexec tools to decide where the RAM is present on the system. We can see that we have a reserved memory area of 108 megabyte, yeah, which is this crash kernel, which is here in IO memory presented as crash kernel. Okay, so I prepared these. So what we will do, we will load a panic kernel or a crash kernel. We will ignore the checks because we don't have so much time. And we will append to the command line max CPUs, so that we don't have one CPU. So we will only start one CPU and not two, because right now we have two CPUs. Okay, and now I will try to show you the device tree that's created from ACPI. Okay, so you can see here, this is the device tree. So we have just the Linux UEFI map, and then UEFI memmap, and then we have the initRD and the boot arguments, and that's it. Okay, so let's load the system, and now we can artificially crash our system. So by writing C2 proxies, proxies RQ trigger, you crash your system. Oh. Oh, you have to shout. I don't know why this happens. Oh, that's a pity. Well, now we are now in the capture system. So if we can see now that we have 147 megabytes of RAM because some is needed for the KX6 segments. We can see that we only have one CPU. Okay, so this is the device tree. And you can see that we have here Linux 11 core header, and we have the usable memory here. So last thing I want to do, there's some program called VM Core Demask. Ah no, I want to do something else. Proc VM core is a dump file, and you can see the dump file is 1.8 gigabyte because it's the memory that we have in our production system. Of course, you most probably are not interested in all the memory. That's why you can make dump file actually decide which what you want to see. And just to show you, there's one program that's called VM Core Demask, which will read the kernel log from your crashed system. And so you pass in the dump file, and you will see that the system and the system crashed. Where it is? Here. SysRQ trigger a crash. So that's when we crashed our system. So it works. Great. really quick now, so references, I put some information in here, so where the KX6 tools, where you can find it, some information, some documentation from SUSE, from OpenSUSE, about how to set the things up, the KDAM tool from OpenSUSE, and if you didn't understand what I explained, there is a nice blog from some guy from Red Hat, which explains more or less the same that I do, that I found in my research. And we will quit the takeaways, and any questions? That goes via PLC. Well, that goes by normal reboot. We just put reboot and then. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. No, you have the UEFI system table. You have from the production, from your. You have the UEFI system table in the device tree. So you get that from production system, you don't touch this. You just add some. Yes. Yes, please.
The machine dies, but the dump fails. You have the
Yes, it can happen. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell you. Sorry. Anyone knows? Anyone has more experience? No? Okay. I mean, what I can say is, when you set these up, you should first try this with an artificial crash that really your capture system boots up. It's not trivial to get this running. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Oh, there is no, but there is this description in the documentation from SUSE. There's a formula to calculate how much memory you will need in the reserve memory. So it depends how many CPUs you have and stuff. Yes, exactly. Which is part of the KDump tool from SUSE.
When you mentioned that the question for kernel revocation, it doesn't take place, but if it takes place, then it's after production kernel crashes.
No, crash kernel relocation happens when you just want to reboot a new kernel, because then you don't have a memory region. Sorry. I think the problem is, in when you have kexec load, then you don't have any reserved memory, so you have to copy the kernel somewhere. But maybe you will need it on a different.
This
memory is reserved and used if you load a capture kernel with -p. If you load that kernel to just reboot to a new kernel without any crash, then you use -l and then it works differently. You don't need the reversed memory and I don't use it. But I'm not 100% sure how this works, to be honest. You can if you set up your initrd to store the dump file on a remote machine, that's possible, and then you don't touch your local file system, and then you can have a look on the dump and on the file systems to check what happened. Well, as far as I know, there's no solution for that, so you have to decide.
Okay, so maybe a separate X2 partition just reserved for that.
I think the problem is you don't have any. I think it's difficult. I mean, you would have to know in the capture system why your system crashed.
Well, as a file system developer, I should say.
Yes.
It has had been a project to analyze the spectrum.
Yeah. Yes, but I mean, there. Yeah, I mean, the possibility would be to read the log, the kernel log from your crashed system, and then try to identify if it's a file system or if it's something else. It's possible, but might be painful.
Maybe we can get back to the question. You had dived into this topic because you made this work for celestial SD.
Yes.
So much of this actually occurs or needs to be re-implemented for the new
for
just the mapping of like CPUs or structures or.
I mean, for it's so on in the KXIC tools, they have like an architecture part which basically does all the loading of the kernel and the initRD and creating all the ELF core header. Well, creating the ELF core header is generic, but I think the most important thing that you have to the most important thing what you have to think about is how to do this, right? How to pass information to the kernel. So on ARM64 we use device tree. I don't know how it is done on Intel, for example. I have no idea how they do it. Then, for example, when they implemented this on ARM64, there was a long discussion if they can add ELF core header as a device tree property. Other systems use ELF core header in the boot command line. I don't know why in ARM they didn't do that. That would be a possibility, and yeah. Any other question? Okay, thank you very much.